Belmont Park, talk to some people as we see them, and it's amazing the stuff that comes out when you ask people how they're doing, when you ask people, can you pray for them? You all have people like that in your life that are carrying burdens, and if you just say, hey, how can I pray for you? You'd be amazed at the opportunity that you're gonna have. Miles.
Hi, Miles, nice to meet you. Hey. How are you doing?
I'm good. You mind if I pray for you for something?
My daughter and I drove from Greeley, Colorado.
Okay.
To her home in Phoenix. I got up the next morning and I was lost. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was.
Oh.
Yeah.
How are you feeling today?
I feel good. I'm feeling okay.
And how's your daughter?
My daughter's fine.
You got your memory back and your all that stuff back, right?
Yes, yes. Some of it I kept. I don't remember a lot of stuff from that happened before.
Yeah. What do you hear God telling you? Just, you know, as you go through life, you got your job, your family. What's God speaking to you?
Staying focused.
On?
Growth and self-determination. Just finding things to keep myself going forward.
I'm a pastor here in town. Okay. A church called The Rock Church. I played for the Chargers, San Diego Chargers before that. And got saved when I was 24. I was doing cocaine and I stopped it one day.
And you know what's crazy? My sister-in-law right there, the red jacket, she's celebrating her 5 years sobriety. Right.
The red jacket?
Yeah. Yep. She's 5 years sobriety right now.
Oh, what?
Alcohol.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
How can I pray for you?
I don't know.
You go to church anywhere? You believe in God? And
I believe in higher power. I used to go to church, but I don't anymore.
How come?
I just really didn't feel welcome, so I stopped going.
Let me encourage you that people can misrepresent the love of God. Our role, all of us, is to really just submit to Him. Maria, I'm gonna pray for you, okay? Yeah. Lord, thank you for a couple of minutes here. Maria, I have to pray it's an encouragement to her after what she went through. Lord, thank you for Amber. Thank you for her sobriety. Thank you for 5 years being clean. And I pray that you would love on her, encourage her, and be a light to her in Jesus' name. And I pray you bless her relationship with her husband in Jesus' name, amen. Everybody's got a burden. Everybody's got something they're carrying. And if we just focus on loving them, listening to their story, offering them word of encouragement, offering to pray for them, miracles happen. Happy Sunday, happy Sunday. Can we all stand up? Happy Sunday. Glad you're in church today. Let's lift our hands up to the sky. Take a deep breath. Wave your hands if you exercise. Oh, y'all don't exercise. Y'all lying on Sunday. I'm doing it now. Let's lift your hands up. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, I pray you forgive all those people. Oh, Lord, walking to the car is an exercise. I pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. I'm not trying to call you all a liar, but you know. The stats prove it ain't 100%. I saw all y'all raving. Yeah. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. I'm sure all y'all want to exercise. Amen. Acts 17. When you drive to church, to work, go to the store, watch TV, listen to what's happening online, what bothers you? Like, does anything really, like, disturb you? When you give your life to Christ and you ask Jesus to change your perspective and change your desires, and you make a statement, I want to live like Jesus. I want to have His heart. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want Him to take out my heart of stone, put it in a heart of flesh. A heart of stone being a heart that does what I want. A heart of flesh is one sensitive to God. You should see things differently. You should hear things differently. And what bothers you? Like hearing people gossip. Some people always got something negative to say. Y'all know who those people are? Ah. How many of y'all are that person?
Y'all like, oh man, he tricked me, tricked me. One honest person over here. In Jesus' name, Shabadu, Shabadu. You see homeless people. I was driving downtown the other day, Wednesday, I can't remember what day of the week, last week. And I drove down Imperial by the Petco Park. There's all these homeless people and unhoused people. And one guy was just on the right next to the curb, covering himself up middle of the day with this nasty blanket. Just heartbreaking. That guy was made in the image of God for the purpose of having a relationship with God and glorifying God. That's, you have to see it that way. That people's lives, that were people that were created for the glory of God, somehow, for whatever reason, and there's thousands of reasons, got to a point of laying in the gutter. The pornography that they're teaching little kids in school. I've seen a little kid book, elementary cartoon pornographic book. I've seen images in that book I've never seen before. And I said, I don't even want to see that. They're giving the little kids. You should find out what they're teaching your kids in school. Don't trust them. Find out what they're teaching in school. Because our government and our education system got some perversion in it. Doesn't, I'm not saying if you're a teacher, God bless you. Hopefully you're not the one doing that. But I'm talking about the system. You need to find out. It should break your heart. It should make you mad. All the sexual perversion on every different level in our society that we're supposed to just say it's okay and acceptable when it's destroying people. All the policies, especially our state government, about our kids. All it's talking about babies like they're tissue. That we just discard them. I don't want a baby. Don't get pregnant. It's a life. It's not tissue. It's actually a life. God told Jeremiah, I knew you in the womb. That you were, and called you to be a prophet, had a purpose for you in the womb. That should bother you. And so my question to you is, as a believer, are you walking around with all this stuff around you and it doesn't matter because you figure it's just going to be that way anyway, what can I do? I was in my office a while back reading, and my wife comes in and she says, why are you reading in the dark? And I said, it's not dark. And then she turned the light on. And I was like, oh wow, there's words on the paper, I can now see. But I got so used to the dark that I didn't think it was dark. And we can get so used to the darkness in our culture that we become irrelevant as believers. And then we become on the defensive, like we're wrong. The reason you study apologetics is to be able to defend these things. As a matter of fact, there's three reasons why you study why what I want to talk about today. One, apologetics is discipleship. It actually helps you be confident in what you believe. If you are not confident that the Bible is God's word, if you are not confident that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, if you're not confident that Jesus' death and resurrection is the only way to heaven, you're not going to be confident to talk about it. You're going to be like on the defensive, and you're going to feel like, I need to give every other religious belief its own respect. And we're going to talk about different religions, and I will tell you, Christianity is separate to all those other religions simply because of the resurrection. I mean, if that's it, Jesus rose from the dead. That's why. Muhammad's dead. Buddha, there's 26 Buddhas anyway, 25 Buddhas. They're dead. All religious leaders are dead. This is something very, and you need to know that. So discipleship helps you understand what you are as a Christian, what Christianity is separate to other beliefs. Cultural engagement, we're going to talk about that today. Cultural engagement. How can you engage culture and build a bridge with what you believe? First, you're confident in what you believe, then you can build a bridge and say, let me help you understand this truth in connection to your truth. And then evangelism, throw a lifeline with what you believe. How can you say, now that you see the bridge, let me help you understand how you can have a relationship with Christ. This is our responsibility, all of us. And so we have resources online. You can get all kinds of resources about everything I'm going to talk about in this series. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff over these next several months. Science and truth and morality, we're going to talk about that next month. Atheism, all the different religions. And we're going to compare them to what the Bible says so you can know, no, I am believing this for a very good reason. In this story today, Paul goes to a place called Mars Hill, and and he goes to Athens, and in Athens, and specifically at Mars Hill, he has discussions with people, and he is going to show the value of his discipleship, his confidence in what he believed. He's going to show you how to build a bridge by engaging in culture. There are tons of issues and isms that the devil has created to give people options other than Christianity. You need to know why Christianity is the number one option. And then he evangelizes these people. And you need to know that as well, because at some point, someone's going to say to you, well, I want to go to heaven. How do I do that? And you can go A, B, C, admit, believe, and confess. Say admit. Say admit. Say believe. Confess. Okay, number one, discipleship is being confident in what you believe. It is a process of you being confident in what you believe. Acts chapter 17, verse 16 to 21. While Paul waited for them, Silas and Timothy, at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Everyone say idols. All the things I talked about, and there's going to be many more, money, fame, likes on Instagram, followers on Instagram or whatever social media platform, all those can be idols. Parenthood can be an idol. Motherhood can be an idol. Your career, your education, your bank account, your house, your car can be an idol. So Paul goes around and he goes to Athens and his spiritual eyes are open and he's looking at all these idols and it bothers him. Then it says, therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews. Everyone say the Jews? We're going to see all the kind of people he's going to talk to. He talks to the Jews. Then with the Gentile worshipers. And in the marketplace daily with those who've just happened to be there. Whenever you see me on the street talking to people, we go out once a week, every time, sometimes every other week. And we get out of the car and we go to a different place. We were in Balboa Park last week. It's nerve-wracking because I don't know who I'm going to talk to. It's like, who are we going to talk to? Let's just walk around. Hey, what's up? Can I talk to you? Even as an extrovert like me, it's a little nerve-wracking, but we always have great conversations all the time. But that's what Paul did. He's in the marketplace saying, who wants to talk? Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a burden. And then it says, certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler have to say? Everyone say babbler. That's what you can call me. I'm a babbler. Okay, babbler. Others said he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus, the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus or Mars Hill, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? This is a place where a lot of philosophers and thinkers went to discuss their ideas called Mars Hill. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but discussing and wanting to tell and hear of a new thing. To the Jews, Paul argued the scriptures and prophets and all the prophetic fulfillments. We'll talk about that in a minute. So he knew I could talk to the Jews. To the Gentile worshipers, he emphasized the inclusion of God's universal plan that God wanted to accept everybody. We'll talk about that in a minute. To the Epicureans, he challenged them in their materialism and the denial of afterlife. Some people think, and we're going to get into this in extension, especially when we talk about science, that people think everything is about the physical world. And then when you die, there's no afterlife. Okay? People have that belief. Do they have a right to have that belief? 100%. Does their belief make it right? No. Everybody has a right to believe what they want to believe. It doesn't mean that they are right. It doesn't mean that just because they believe it, it's going to come true. We want to be able to say, hey, I respect your ability and your right to believe that, but let me tell you another option you might consider. Okay? I've had guys in my life, fellas, you know, they get these crushes on these girls that are not in their league. Ladies, have you had a guy come up to you and he's just not in your league? Can I get amen, ladies? All right. And you wanted a guy that wasn't in your league, so I just want to keep it fair. You know what I'm saying? But some dude will say to you, hey, yo, man, I'm going to talk to him. I'm like, bro, I know you think you got it like that. You don't, okay? And next thing you know, they're married and got three kids. That's another story. To the Epicureans, he challenged them in materialism and denial of the afterlife. You can believe that, but it's not true. There is an afterlife. There really is. That's why at every funeral, oh, he's in a better place. Even if they don't believe in God, they're in a better place. I'm like, bro, he ain't in a better place. To the Stoics, he corrected their pantheism and fatalism with the truth of a personal and transcendent creator. Some people think God's got, it's already mapped out, already determined, and we don't have a, he's already determined what's going to happen. No, no, no. God loves you. He's given you free will. Matter of fact, if God loves us so much, he would never force us to do anything. He wants you to love him voluntarily. How many of y'all, by a show of hands, want someone to be forced to love you? God made us in his image. He doesn't want to force us to love him. Love requires you to have freedom, the option to say no. If you do not have the option to say no, you're not free, and it's not love. The greatest commandment is to love God with your heart, mind, and soul. You being forced to love God is not love. So we have that freedom, and we have the opportunity to say no and suffer the consequences of that no, and say yes and reap the benefits of that yes. So discipleship for Paul was, I understand how to talk to all these people. Imagine if you can talk to your friends about whatever they believe. I would challenge you in this, and it's a challenge and encouragement. Ask some of your friends who don't believe in God what they do believe in. Just ask them and say, and by the way, you don't have to have the answer. Go find the answer if you don't have it, but don't worry about having to have the answer. You could simply say, help me understand, and write notes. Say, I want to understand, and I want to go find answers for you. Can you tell me what you believe? Tell me why you believe it. Tell me how that has worked out for you. And you don't have to give an answer. Just sit there and learn, and you will be amazed at what you hear. And you can be like, yo, you believe that? For real? You think that you're just going to die and poof the magic dragon and be gone? Yeah. Well, wait, how did you get that? Oh, man, I heard on YouTube. There was this guy, he just was gone. So I figured that's going to, I mean, huh, find out what your friends believe and then go find out a biblical answer. Number two, cultural engagement builds a bridge with what you believe. Paul did not mock them. He started to engage with them and say, let me tell you the other side. Look what it says in Acts 17. It says, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, men of Athens, I perceive that you are very religious. How many of y'all know an atheist, by the way? Raise your hand, really. You know an atheist, okay? You know you have a relationship, personal connection with someone who claims to be an atheist, okay? Guess what? They have a religion. They believe in themselves. They believe in science. They believe that, and we're going to talk at length later on it, but they believe, well, there's different kinds of atheists, so let me first preface it by that. But the ones who believe in materialism believe that everything came about by nothing because there's no God. It just happened. That takes more faith to believe than that God did it. And so everybody has a religious belief, a faith. You can't live life without faith. Going to a store and eating processed food, thinking it's going to make you healthy, is faith. Standing on the treadmill, smoking a Marlboro, thinking you're going to get in shape, is faith. Sitting home, thinking about working out in your mind, and going to church and saying, I work out, and thinking the pounds are just going to melt off, and you're going to get a six-pack and all kind of ripped, is faith. Breathing is faith. Loving is faith. Applying for a job you have no training in is faith. And by the way, that's a great faith. No, and that's something you should do. I mean, listen, go for it. Shoot your shot. Swing for the fence. That's faith. Starting a business with very little money is a step of faith, which is a great thing, an entrepreneurial thing. Great, fabulous. But just to understand, it is faith. God created us as creatures of faith. The question is, what do you have faith in? So he says, I see that y'all are religious. He's acknowledging y'all are religious. Yeah. And then it says, for I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship. You worship money. You worship social media. You worship likes from people that don't even know you. What do you care? They don't know you, and you don't know them. You're making money that you're going to spend. It's going to come and a go. My wife was looking online. I don't know how she got on this website, and I quickly deleted it because it was from Satan. I don't know how you got on that website. She was trying to figure out what this bag. I saw this purse, and I was trying to figure out what it was. And she got to this website that it was a Birkin bag. How many of y'all do not know what a Birkin bag is? Great. I had never heard of it. The price is, like, grab your seat, right? If you're with your wife, grab her purse and grab her. Just brace yourself. Are y'all ready? The prices were from $26,000. Oh no, you had, like, take a deep breath. You ready? $26,000, that's the ghetto version. They have that bag at our malls, okay? You don't even understand where this is going. To $600,000. Oh my gosh. $600,000, right? Yeah, she wasn't looking for a bag for herself. She's over there to make sure they know. She was trying to figure out what the bag I saw. I said, it was like this. It had a B on it. So she started looking at it. She said, was it this? No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that bad. $640,000. And I said, well, I would assume those people are not walking around people like us. They're walking around with people who have other $600,000 bags. Because they'll get their arm cut off for that bag. Listen, if you got that kind of money, more power to you. Matter of fact, I'd like to meet you. We can idolize things, our cars, our clothes. There's levels to this. There are people who look at your condo and think you're, and by the way, will acknowledge that you're wasting your money on that condo. Because they live in something very more modest. Everybody's got someone looking at them going, how are you spending your money on that? And as long as it's not an idol, but it can be. All those things can be idols. But here's where it gets even interesting. He says, for I was passing through, considering the objects of your worship, and I even found the altar with the inscription, the unknown God. When I was in Balboa Park the other day talking to people, I went up to this information booth, and there were two ladies there. And I said, hey, hello, ladies, and, you know, can I interview y'all and talk to y'all? I'm just talking to people about God, blah, blah. And this one lady said, how you doing, Reverend? How you doing? And I said, how you doing, okay? She said, I believe in God, but she don't. And I said, I'll talk to you later. Let me talk to you. True story. It's hilarious. It's a lot of fun for all these people. So I said, so tell me, you don't believe in God? What do you? She said, I don't believe in God. I believe in science. She's talking to the wrong brother because I love me some science. Let me tell you something. So I said, huh, you believe in science? You don't believe in God? I believe in science. Okay. Do you know what science is? She said, no. The unknown God. A lot of people don't even know what they're worshiping. I wonder how many of y'all don't even know what you're worshiping. You don't understand the God that you serve, his power, his love, his compassion, his wisdom. You think he's like a good luck charm. If I pray, he'll give me something good. If I go to church, something's going to happen good. If I don't go to church, he's going to get me. He don't need you not to come to church to get you. He got a whole bunch of other reasons that he could justify to get you. You know that, right? You know that God can kill you right now and be justified unless you've asked Christ to be your Savior, because then you're forgiven. But if you haven't, and by the way, just because you asked Christ to be your Savior doesn't make you a better person than the person who doesn't ask Christ. It just means that you're forgiven by God's grace. It ain't got nothing to do with your good merit. You're saved by faith through grace, not your works, lest you should boast. Y'all know that, right? Because you can't go, yeah, I'm a Christian, and you ain't. No, no, no. Shut your mouth, bow your head, and say this. Thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God God saved me. Amen? So this lady said, I don't know what science is. I said, how are you trusting in something you don't know? I said, let me tell you what science is. Science, and this is a definition. You go look it up. It'll be something like this. I'm sure they write it different ways. It is the pursuit of knowledge through observation and experimentation. It's a process. Science is a process of discovery. The invisible attributes are clearly seen. The invisible attributes are clearly seen for what God has made. For ever since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God have been clearly seen by what he has made. When we study what God made, we discover things. We discover laws and principles. We discover the creation, the creativity of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. All sciences is a process of discovery. Chemistry is a science that discovers how chemical reactions happen. Physics is a science and a discipline of discovering how physical particles interact with each other. Thermodynamics is a study of how heat and cold and heat transfer between different materials and the universe. Actually, the universe is cooling down. And there's going to be what they call a heat death, where the temperature in the universe is going to be zero, which means no movement, it's frozen, it's dead. Science discovers those things. That's all it does. And she's like, where did you go to school? I said, it don't matter. We need to talk about God. You don't want to be worshiping something you don't understand. And don't be thinking, well, I have a higher power. What's your higher power's name? What is your higher power, has your higher power ever done to you, said to you, guided you in? How has your higher power encouraged you? You can't answer that question. Because there's only one God, his name is Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three in one. Then it says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. This is Paul speaking. He says, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life and breath to all things. And he has made from one blood, everyone say one blood, every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the earth. By the way, we all came from one blood, one family, Adam and Eve, and they had kids, they had kids. They were all in Genesis chapter 11. They were all in one place. God confused their language because they were rebelling against God, and he spread us all over the world by changing our communication. People are connected through their communication. If I go to another country, as soon as I open my mouth, oh, you're American. If you hear somebody in this country and they have a different accent, you have a choice. You know they're from somewhere else. You can either be loving or be a knucklehead. God did that, but he said it all from one people, because I made everybody in my image. And said, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and he has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries in their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. God is not far from you. For in him we live, we move, have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said. When Paul saw this, he talked to the Jews. And you know what he said to the Jews? He reasoned with them. Everyone say reason. He told them, he said, I know y'all believe in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament spoke about a prophet like Moses. That's Jesus. The Old Testament talked about a lamb that was slain, and the blood of the lamb caused the angel of death to pass over. Jesus is the Passover lamb, Mark 1:29. He says, I know you talked about, you saw in the Old Testament in Isaiah that to us a child would be born, a son would be given. His name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty Father, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's Jesus, born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, this is Jesus. The Bible says in John 5:46, this is Jesus. For if you believe Moses, you would believe in me, for he spoke of me. He told the Jews, here's what you need to be understanding. He told the Gentiles that the Messiah of the Old Testament, the Messiah of the Jews that came, also came for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him, even you non-Jew, you would have eternal life. He told the Epicureans that God has appointed a day that he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has ordained. He told the YOLOs, y'all know what a YOLO is? I say yo-yo because yo-yo is easy to pronounce, but YOLO is you only live once. Y'all heard of YOLOs? You only live once. Oh, I'm just gonna have fun. I'm gonna make some money. I'm gonna sleep around as much as I can. Because when I die, that's it. Oh, no. The Bible says it's appointed you die one time and then you face God. Now, you could say, I don't believe that. It don't mean it's not gonna happen. You can go outside right now and say, oh, it's raining now. It's raining. I'm gonna get an umbrella. It ain't raining. And it ain't gonna rain just because you believe it. The Bible says it is appointed for a man to die one time and face God. The Stoics, who he spoke to, they believed in fatalism. Everything was already decided. Let me just disconnect from everything, avoid all pain and misery because they're just like Buddhists. Buddhists, the plight of a Buddhist, and by the way, this has nothing to do with Buddhist people, but the Buddhist belief. The Buddhist belief says, I think it's 25 Buddhas, that you need to desire nothing because with desire comes pain and disappointment and suffering. And their goal is to avoid all suffering and get to a point where they're totally enlightened. And when they get enlightened, guess what they realize? That they are just an illusion. You are not an illusion. You are a real person. Everyone just tap yourself like that. Yeah, you hear that? Listen to the rain. Hit yourself three times and watch the rain. Hit it, right? You're a real thing. You're not an illusion. But in Buddhists, they say you have to get to this place called enlightenment, and then you can go into nirvana, and you can cease to exist. It's like self-destruction, that you should desire nothing, and that everybody you know is an illusion, and you are an illusion. Oh, heck no. God created me in his image so he can love me, and I can love him back, and I can live all eternity with him. Those two are very opposite. So Paul was interacting with all these people, trying to help them understand, look, this is what you believe, but here's the truth. Lastly is evangelism. Throw a lifeline with what you believe. Acts 17, 29 and 32. Therefore, since we are his offspring, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold, silver, or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands. Everyone say commands. He's like, look, repent. Because God has appointed a day which he will judge the world. Say judge. With righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given us assurance of this. This is the promise. By raising him from the dead. This is the distinction. Anything you get out of this message, the distinction between all the other beliefs and this belief is that God raised his son from the dead and he's coming back. Amen. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, they mocked him, and others said, we will hear you on this matter another time. When Jesus came the first time, he came as a lamb. He lived 33 years. Y'all seen all the images and pictures of him in the movies? He didn't look, he was Middle Eastern, okay? So they try to make him look like he was from Pacific Beach, okay? Ain't nothing wrong with Pacific Beach, but that wasn't Jesus. He was born in Palestine, okay? Give him green eyes. I mean, come on. Because that's the American version of what the real Jesus was like. However, he came, he suffered, he came to be a servant. That was the first time. Second time, he ain't coming back for that. He's coming as a lion. And the second time he's coming back, he ain't coming to die for nobody. He's coming to judge the world based on righteousness. You need to know that. That's what the Bible just said. That's what the book of Revelation is about. And when he comes back, you go, oh, he'll just forgive me. Oh, no. You have time now. Amen. That's what this is all about. He died and said, listen, my boys are going to tell you the gospel for as long as it takes. But there's going to come a day when the waiting is over. And you can either be like these guys and say, I will talk to you later. Later may not come. Or, Lord, I want to give my life to you right now. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And before we pray, all y'all who say you're a Christian, I know y'all said you work out, but all y'all who, I'm going to forgive you for all y'all who lie. I'm only joking with you. But all y'all who say you're Christian, let's continue to come to church, but let's learn some of this stuff. Go to our resource page and read on all the stuff I'm talking about, and there's much more information online, as you know. It's endless. But learn how to talk to your friends. Ask them what they believe, and just have a conversation. Don't worry about not having the answers. But then there are some of y'all in here, you haven't asked Christ to be your Savior, and you're hearing now he's coming back. We do not know the day, but when he comes back, there's no more discussion. He's coming back to judge. You've heard the term, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. That didn't come from us. Justice is a God thing. He is about justice. And trust me, he will execute justice on everybody who needs it. But if you say to the Lord, Lord, listen, I don't want you to judge me. I want you to forgive me. He is ready and willing, because that's why he died. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you want to ask Christ to be your Savior, and you want to respond to the truth that Jesus is coming back to judge in righteousness, and that we are assured of that because he rose from the dead. If you would like to repent today and give your life to Christ, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that the penalty of my sin is death. I believe Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me. I confess my sin. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I want to be born again. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand, and by standing, you are acknowledging Christ as your Savior. You are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to him. So on the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Stay right there. Okay, stay right there. God bless you. God bless you. Come on now. Come on now. If you are standing, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat and come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will bring you around. But come out of your seat. Come join this young lady down here at the altar. Come on, your church. Come on, church. What's your name? Did you come here ready for this? Good. Stay right there, okay? Not anymore. Not anymore. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let's go! God bless you. 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 Yes, I will. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here, young lady. Stay right here. Here we go. Come, darling. Come right there. Come, darling. How are you? God bless you. God bless you. I would ask y'all not to leave yet. I know you want to avoid the traffic. We just want to be respectful to the people coming. God bless you. 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 God knows everything. No matter how bad it is, he's got it. He's stretching out the heavens like a curtain right now. If you ask a scientist who's in cosmology, they will tell you that the universe is spreading, is expanding at the speed of light, even faster. God's doing that, Isaiah tells us. God can handle your problems. He just wants, the struggle that you're feeling is your ability to let it go and trust him. Especially the more you know about him, the more you see what he does, you can say, oh, he can handle it. He really can. It's really just a matter of you saying, okay, God, I'm done. I give up. That's what this is all about. Next week, same bat time, same bat channel. And by the way, do some exercise this week. I'm serious. Don't leave yet. We're going to pray here in a minute. We're going to pray here in a minute. Lord, I pray you bless all these people who are standing here. Pray you bless. I pray we ask a friend a question this week about what they believe. And we determine that we are going to be disciples. We are going to be disciples. We are going to be generous disciples. And I thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.